What is up, party people? Welcome to episode quattro of the Believe in Mavs podcast. I'm your host, Ronce Rajan, bringing you the very best in Dallas Mavericks coverage you'll find anywhere on the Believe Podcast Network. Mainly because I'm the only person who covers the Dallas Mavericks on the Believe Podcast Network, but don't let that deter you from the fact that this is quality coverage. Unfortunately, that's where the quality ends if you're a Mavs fan this week, as it was an ugly one, to say the least. No game was uglier than the first game of this week, when it was the Mavs versus the 76ers. And it was the first time in a while we'd seen the Mavs simply shellacked. They were outmatched, outclassed, outnumbered, outplayed. Joel Embiid simply dominated this team with 36 points and 7 rebounds. He took whatever he wanted, shooting 10 of 17 from the field, and got to the free throw stripe at will, shooting 14 of 15 from the line. In the Mavs' defense, he's done that to a lot of teams this year. He's carving up the league, which is why he's neck and neck with Jokic, or at least he would be as the frontrunner in the MVP race had he not missed so many games. This was a rough loss for the Mavs, though, who were basically out of this game by then the second quarter. 113-95 was the final score. That 18-point loss was their worst in 2 months. It was their first double-digit loss since a March 26th beatdown by the Indiana Pacers. Prior to that, their last double-digit loss was in February 25th to the Philadelphia 76ers. They are a kryptonite, to say the least. It just goes to show that there are tiers to this thing, and the 76ers are in a class of their own right now. They've constructed a Monstars level roster out there in Philly. And it wouldn't surprise me one bit if they upset the heavily favored Brooklyn Nets as the team to come out of the East in the playoffs. I think they're that good. After a 3-game stretch where he played exceptionally well and challenged the indictments of a bunch of nobodies like me in the media, KP was out of the lineup again. And unlike the Jazz game where the Mavs used that to their advantage by unleashing a quicker small ball lineup, the 76ers were well equipped to handle it, as they're a team that's not only bigger and tougher to overpower a team like the Mavs, but athletic enough to keep up with their twitchy guards. That's a terrifying notion for any team that has to game plan against this squad. Now, for all the grief that I've given KP, the cupboard seemed pretty bare without him. Luka was a one-man show out there, as the cold shooting stretch from the previous night against the Spurs continued, and shots were once again not falling for the Mavs. Dorian Finney-Smith and Brunson were the only players to reach double digits, and to Finney-Smith's credit, he's still playing his role well, playing tough defense and even crashing the boards as he grabbed 11 rebounds in that game. But he's great for what he's typically asked to do. He's not meant to be relied on as your second best player. Kleba and Richardson seem to have cooled off in this game. Same with Hardaway. In short, there was a 7'3" Latvian hole left in the Mavs game plan that no one was able to fill. On a side note, JJ Redick finally made his Mavs debut in this game against his former team, playing 14 minutes and scoring 4 points on 1 of 7 shooting. Ugh. Following the game, though, there came some criticism on behalf of Luka Doncic on the NBA's new play-in format for the playoffs, where the seeds 7 through 10 basically have to play their way into the playoffs. And not everybody is fond of it. Like I said, Luka wasn't, and unsurprisingly, neither was Mark Cuban. In fact, he said, "I get why the NBA is doing it, but if we're going to be creative because of COVID, we should go straight to a 1 through 20 and let the bottom four play in. This is the year particularly to do it since the 10 games got cut off." And the worst part of this approach is that it doubles the stress of the compressed schedule. Rather than playing for a playoff spot and being able to rest players as the standings become clearer, teams have to approach every game as a playoff game to either get into or stay in the top six, since there's consequences, as Luka said, are enormous. So players are playing more games and more minutes in fewer days. It's a solid point. In fact, Jeff Van Gundy in one of the Mavs games ended up saying, "We can't say we value the regular season if a team that's missed the playoffs by 5 or 6 games only has to win 2 games to get in." Now, of course, us Mavs fans are going to be leading the parade on this one because the Mavs have just been stuck in that seventh spot. There's like a glass ceiling that we can't seem to break. And because we're stuck in that seventh spot, we leave ourselves susceptible to being that team that gets upset in the play-in format. So of course we're going to be getting annoyed by it. And maybe there's a little bit bias behind it, but there's truth to it too. I think having a playoff format where you've played well all year and a team that doesn't deserve to be there gets to upset you, I just think that undermines the playoffs altogether. And I think it would really annoy me as a Mavs fan, given the fact that this team has really been inconsistent. I wouldn't put it past them to lose to a team who's a 10th seed in the play-in games, and would further infuriate me with how this team has played. Which brings me to the other team that would have to deal with the repercussions of this play-in format as it's currently constructed. That is the 8th-seeded Memphis Grizzlies, the team directly behind the Mavs in the standings. Now, I never worried much about them this year, but the gap in play is much closer than I previously thought. Admittedly, I haven't watched much Memphis Grizzlies basketball this year, but to be fair, no one has. You haven't. Let's be real. Don't lie to me. You haven't watched any Memphis Grizzlies basketball. But this team is sneakily playing well. They're a team that's much more than just Ja Morant. They're a young squad where their sum is greater than its parts. They're first in points in the paint, first off points off turnovers, second in the NBA in fast break points, first and second chance points, and their top 10 defense. Be honest, you didn't know that? Very few players on that team scare you on an individual basis, but they play as a cohesive unit and they move the ball so well. Those second chance points are purely credited to Jonas Valanciunas. He's such a bruiser and one of the most underrated big men in the entire NBA. And even though Valanciunas dominated on the boards with 15 rebounds, mind you, another big man who has an incredible rebounding night against the Mavs. But as a whole, Dallas managed to overcome that and actually win the rebounding battle. Now, Luka was ice cold in the first half, but he picked up his play in the second. As far as JJ Redick, he shot better in this game, but he's a turnover machine. He just seems mentally checked out and not really thrilled to be a Maverick. Now, part of that could be because of how he was wronged, or at least he feels he was wronged, by Pelicans management and how they handled his trade, and perhaps he subconsciously holds that resentment against the Mavs. But I'm no psychologist, I'm just a guy who likes to diagnose everybody with something. Now, we come to the end of the game, and it looks like the Mavs are a bit out of it. They were playing from behind for most of the night, and every time they seemed to close the lead, the Grizzlies seemed to open it right back. That brings to the near end of the game, and Grayson Allen, a 90% free throw shooter, actually chokes at the line and misses both free throws that would have iced the game and put Memphis up by 4. Then, Luka magic. Down by 2, with the game on the line at the buzzer, he's stumbling and bumbling and somehow makes basically a floater from the 3-point line to win the game. One of the best shots I've seen all year. Mainly because it's a Dallas Maverick who's doing it. But it's still an unbelievable shot. The fact that I got to see that live was just mind-blowing. I almost fell out of my bed. And Mark Cuban was there loving it too. He was giving Luka more of an affectionate hug than my own dad's ever even given me. That's a different issue. But I don't blame him, because on a night where your team was basically outplayed by a lesser team, the fact that you have a player like Luka to just bail your team out and steal a game like that, you hug him and you never let him go, Mark. Now, one interesting and honestly unfortunate development that happened earlier in the week, right after the Mavs 76ers game, in fact, was in the Nuggets Warriors game, where young rising star Jamal Murray tore his ACL, effectively ending his season. Before anything else, first and foremost, I'm sending my prayers out to Jamal Murray's way for a speedy recovery. Beyond sports, you just hate to see that. But from a pure basketball perspective, this is huge in regards to the implications it has on the Western Conference playoff race. Denver lost that game to the Golden State Warriors, but the bigger loss is their star guard. This leaves this team incredibly vulnerable in the playoff hunt, especially in the playoffs where Murray really showed out last year. This effectively leaves Jokic to carry this Nugget squad along with young forward Michael Porter Jr. and trade deadline acquisition Aaron Gordon. That leaves two injury-stricken teams in the three spots ahead of the Mavs in the standings, well within striking distance. Those teams are the Los Angeles Lakers and now the Denver Nuggets. These aren't even the only Western Conference foes that are dealing with injuries right now, where the Utah Jazz have an injury to their own star guard, Donovan Mitchell, who has a high ankle sprain, and we'll see how much longer the Utah Jazz are going to be in the one seed following that injury. Given all these injuries and the clear path for the Mavs to rise up, you would think they would take advantage. And the win against the Grizzlies helped, but then you see the next two games and you're wondering what's wrong with this team. Game one being against the New York Knicks. This is a team that we've beaten earlier in the season. This is a team we know we're better than. And this is a team that you want to make feel miserable, especially because you traded for Kristaps Porzingis from them. But the Mavs found a way to lose this time around, 117-109. What's scary is how dominated they were by another big man, Julius Randle. And not only did he dominate, he had a career night. 44 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. They couldn't stop him even if they tried. What stinks is because on paper, if I told you the stats that Luka and KP were going to have in this game, you would think it would be an easy win. I mean, KP in this game had 23 points and 12 rebounds. Solid night on any night. But Luka was unbelievable. And that's saying something when you have to say it about Luka. He had 22 points and 8 rebounds, but he had 19 assists. That's not a typo. He almost had more assists than he had points in this game. But if we learn anything from the Rockets game, it's that this Mavs team, they have their bad nights, especially in trap games. And for what it's worth, the Knicks, as much as I hate to say it, they're a quality squad. That's an understandable loss. We just bounce back. We go to the next game. And look, it's the Sacramento Kings. That's an easy win, right? Wait, we lost by 14 to the Kings? Look at this box score. De'Aaron Fox has 30 points and 12 assists. Harrison Barnes, we didn't even want him in Dallas, and he had 24 points. Hassan Whiteside dominates in the post, 12 points, 10 rebounds. Terrence Davis, I don't know who that is. He got 23 points on the Mavs. What are we doing out there? And look at the Mavs squad. It looks like they should have played well. Luka had 37, 8, and 4. Dorian Finney-Smith had 22 points, and Jalen Brunson had 20 off the bench. And KP had an 11 rebound night, but he shot 3 of 14 from the field to end up with 9 points. 1 of 7 from 3. Oh my god, this is so ugly. What are we doing out there, Dallas? I said all these opportunities the Mavs had to move forward in the rankings, and they're beating themselves. You can't even blame anything else. You can't say it's because of a tough Western Conference, because in a year where, because of COVID, there's probably less time for teams to prep. Players are getting injured left and right. And even if it's not the totality of players, the quality of players that are getting injured. I mean, my gosh, we're seeing stars getting injured left and right. And you can't take advantage of that. You're overall, since maybe after the first 2 weeks of the season, you've been a relatively healthy team. You have no excuses. You're just getting in your own way. And that's the problem with this Mavs team. I talk about the play-in format and why I don't want it to happen. It's because I don't know if the Mavs can get out of the seventh seed. This might just be a seventh-seeded team, and we give them so much more credit than they deserve. Yes, because Luka is so flashy, because they have great shooters, and because there's so much potential in KP, we assume this has got to be a top-four team, right? I mean, they're giving us every reason to believe that they're exactly where they belong, and even if you handed them three or four spots higher on the rankings on a platter, they'll say, no thanks, we'd rather lose to the Sacramento Kings. I don't know, guys. It's hard to be positive when you have that kind of week against those tiers of opponents and you go 1-3. I mean, the 76ers loss, it's understandable. And even the Knicks loss, like, you can come to terms with it. When you're losing to the Kings of the world, it's a serious indictment on the kind of team you are. And the Mavs, this stretch of games isn't over yet. I mean, they're still going against low quality competition. They still have the Pistons, they have the Lakers twice, and they haven't had their stars back yet, luckily for the Mavs. And then they get that rematch against the Kings. The Mavs really need to step up. Like, if you forget about even getting out of the play-in format, if you have any sense of self-respect for yourself, beat these teams. You're so much better than them, right? At least I want to believe so. But on that note, that's all my time for this week, guys. Try to be more positive next week. Hopefully the Mavs give me a reason to. Until then, God bless, take care, and see you on the next episode on the Believe Podcast Network.